Social impact everywhere.
Welcome back, my fellow impactors, to another episode of the Impactors Podcast. And today we have another guest for you. We have Daniel Forrester. Now, Daniel is the founder and CEO of Through, Inc., an expert consultancy that assists leaders in bridging the gap between corporate culture and corporate strategy. Now, he's also a co-author on a book called Relentless, The Forensics of Mobsters' Business Practices. So I just want to start this podcast off, Daniel, by saying a big thank you for being with me here today.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And let's jump into the first question. First question is, there is a lot more to Daniel, a lot more to what you do and what you do with Through as well, Through Inc. Explain to me a little bit about who you are, what you do, and why you believe you're an impactor.
That's a big question there, Avery. So I will do my best. I am a father of two. I am a proud husband of Nancy. I'm a kid who grew up on Long Island, on the North Shore of Long Island, who wound up spending a lot of his life at organizations that had connections to the Catholic Church. Catholic University was where I went to get my undergraduate degree, and arriving in Washington, D.C. really changed my life early on. Washington, D.C. besides New York City as a kid, where my dad used to work in New York City, those are the places where I used to believe about impact, and I saw impact because you can't go to a city and not sense the amazing impact of it. I spent years of my life in and around Washington until I went and eventually got a master's degree to help tame the poet that was in me, which I decided was not enough to pay a mortgage, although poetry is novel and noble. And I wound up getting a graduate degree in learning about economics, learning about strategy. And I took the plunge after years of working in other really cool companies to build my own company 9 years ago, and have been very joyfully and sometimes really hard, Avery, working to connect two things simultaneously. The idea that strategy and culture are a singular domain, and that leaders and leadership teams and boards have to think about them simultaneously in order to do what? In order to have the impact that they seek to have. That's been really my work. I'm also a writer at heart. I write constantly. It's joyful to write. I'm writing usually things outside of the business world, although I've written a couple of books that have been in and around topics of leadership and thinking through things like reflection and even mobsters. So that's a little bit about me.
So I'm curious, because you co-authored the book with Jerry, this mobster practices book, and where did that idea come from? Why was that a topic that you chose? And what has it been like to discover some of these practices that, you know, are built in sustainability, but mobsters are using them?
Yeah, the Catholic kid in me was sort of shocked that I was attracted to it. Although it turns out, Avery, on any given night, it's amazing how many of us are suckers for another run of The Godfather or a Sopranos episode. American fascination with mobsters, including mine, was really high. The real short answer was this was a passion project for Jerry Zimmerman. Jerry was one of my professors, one of the leading economists at the University of Rochester, who helped to rewire my brain. And I brought him in on an engagement I was doing a few years ago for one of my clients. A Fortune 50 client was struggling with an issue. I was struggling with an issue, and you go to the wise men and the wise women, and I brought him in and I asked Jerry what he was working on. And he's pretty much retired these days, although he does some consulting, he sits on some boards. And he had told me he has been thinking about organizations that have and will outlast Goldman Sachs and Facebook and Google. And I thought, oh, this is interesting. You're working on another good to great. And he reminded me, as great as some of those organizations were and the principles in that wonderful book, a lot of those organizations didn't last very long. Some of them were nefarious, by the way. Enron was featured in Good to Great. He said, no, I'm studying mobsters. And I wanted to take a look, Daniel, to understand what is it in the DNA of these organizations. And what drew me to that was, first of all, the chance to reconnect with a mentor. And he handed me the manuscript. I read it voraciously. And I realized that I thought he was missing something in the text, to be honest with you. That when I dug into it, not only was I relearning the principles of economics, of resiliency that show up, of aligning people to a cause, but there was something about the cultures of these organizations that, not a culture I would choose to join, But my goodness, they are distilled cultures that are so unique among the hundreds of companies and cultures that I've been privileged to study and work with, that I was going to take my brain on an adventure. I knew one way or another. So an amazing topic of fascination for me. I love a good mobster movie. And then the ability to take data and dialogue with a dear mentor and apply 70 years of Nobel economics with understandings now in the recent domain of why corporate culture matters. It was too good to pass up. And 2 years later, we published Relentless, and it's been another rewiring in my brain.
So I'm curious then, you've learned a lot from that, and rewiring your brain, that is such an interesting aspect, because there are key moments throughout our lives where that happens, right? And for Jerry, for you, that was with working with Jerry or having Jerry as a teacher. But I want to ask you, with everything that you've done with Through and everything that you've done with your life, how are you making a positive impact in your community?
That's a really wonderful question and a deep question. And on my best day, I'll give you my answer. My worst day, I wonder, am I doing enough? I think all of us have to ask, given, and I'm a pretty privileged guy, Avery. One of my friends have called me up, as all of us have during this terrible pandemic. And, I've said, I haven't missed a meal yet. And what I was saying there was how lucky I am, how fortunate I am that I'm able to use technology and to continue to add value and to have an impact. I think if I was to say, how do I know my sense of impact? And I'm going to come at this with a fair amount of humility. I've been very lucky to be in the room, as they say in Hamilton, in the room where it happens. And I've been, and if you choose the vocation of consulting, it is not a singular job. You're going to have a lot of different jobs. You're going to get a chance to be in a lot of different rooms. And in 25 plus years of doing what I do, I've been in rooms with everyone from the leading thinkers and connectors in organizations like the U.S. Marine Corps to working with incredible organizations like Meals on Wheels America. And when you get brought into these rooms as a strategist at heart and as someone who's driving culture change inside the organizations, what draws me to these companies is that none of them sell high fructose corn syrup, and no offense to anybody out there who's working and building a company that sells high fructose corn syrup. I've been drawn to companies where the mission and the vision and the purpose is something of a higher calling. And I've had a fair amount of success using techniques, collaborative techniques generally, to unleash the potential of organizations. So if you ask me what my connection to impact is, given that I have been in the room where it happens, advising, facilitating, guiding, pushing, it is the joy that comes from knowing that an organization sometimes that had been failing is able to thrive. And what's the impact? That's saving jobs. An organization that was making some social impact was able to triple, quadruple, or more its social impact. More people fed, more people housed, more lives touched, more social isolation attacked. I can't tell you how many different domains I've been in to think about the ability of a single platform of an organization to have rippling effects nationally and globally. That impact doesn't belong to me, by the way. I don't want this to be about Daniel Forrester was the architect of it. That's nonsense. I was lucky to be in the rooms and to have, I think, a lot of grace to help leaders to align around the right big ideas. General Petraeus taught that to me many, many years ago. The first job of a leadership team is to align around the right big ideas. And when they do, Avery, the chance for impact is immeasurable. And these organizations that I've had the pleasure of working with, I'm proud to say they've grown again in revenue, they've grown again in relevance, they've grown again in social impact, and they've preserved jobs, created jobs, and some of them have on their best days aspirations of changing the world. So to be a little piece of and a facilitator and a bridge builder in those rooms, that's my connection to the impact that I will not take for myself, my friend, but I'll say that I was a small piece of something much, much larger across decades. That's the rooms I've been in. I've been very fortunate to be in.
Yeah, I always find it interesting, this topic of impact, only because when you have a large company, the amplification of their impact, when you simply change policy, you simply change a mission or a statement, it's an amplification. They can change so much. And if we, and there's always a correlation between building an impact makes money. I think we've realized that now, that when you build an impact in the world, especially a social impact, you are able to build your revenue and, you know, triple it or double it based on the fact that you are building an impact for people, right? Because at the center of everything we do in business is people.
That's exactly right. You know, the other part of it too is there's the mission, there's the vision, but the other part of the impact that I'm proud to say that I've had is running a company that's helped to deal and confront with the obstacles that hold back impact. So cultures, I'm going to make a generalization here, although there's real data to back this up. There's cultures that are passive. There's cultures that are defensive. There's cultures that are constructive. There's cultures that are beyond constructive, where they take their employees to unseen heights. I've had the work that's come at me as a strategist confront the idea, and I'll pick on one organization that my company had the privilege to serve in the aftermath of the Me Too movement. And by the way, the Me Too movement helps all of us to realize that there is no impact when half of the workforce can't bring themselves to work and feel safe. There's nothing impactful about a company when women don't feel safe, they don't feel heard, and they can't bring their voices equally. And we have so much work to do there. But the Me Too movement also exposed thousands of companies that were outed because the C-suites, and particularly the men and leaders running them, were not treating, and way worse, they were abusing women. And I've been in other cultures, by the way, where minorities felt it. Or I've been in other cultures where, you know, junior employees felt they couldn't speak up. So part of, I think, the impact, when I think of impact, it's not just getting the big ideas right on the day forward, the vision, the mission. I also think about this idea of removing, first of all, identifying obstacles, and then helping leaders to have the courage, Avery, to confront obstacles systematically and to think through, how do you rid a system? How do you rid a system of dysfunction and get to the better angels that are sitting, waiting in the consciousness of your employees and the organization? I think one of my gifts and one of my skills has been to help leaders to get the right language around those big rocks and the challenges, and then to have the courage to confront it. I've never thought about it probably till this conversation, but getting obstacles out of the way and helping organizations to become better versions of themselves, I think that's probably a little bit of a legacy of any connection of my name to the word impact.
So again, this idea of impact, I want to ask you the third question now, just because this is a very template question, but there's a lot of depth to it. And the question I have for you is this idea of impact, whether social, whether economic, but this idea of impact, do you think it's an important part of business?
I think it's an extremely important part of business. So let me start out with my bias as I answer your question. I tell this, though, this is not news. I'm not breaking any news on your podcast here, Avery. The majority of the American workforce is absolutely miserable. People, they use proxies such as engagement scores and other things to measure it. Just talk to people in your neighborhood. Talk to your family. Talk to your friends. For everyone who's wildly inspired by the work that they do, the majority of people, unfortunately, are toiling at work for a cause that sometimes they feel connected to, other times they don't. And generally, there's huge data to back up that, particularly the millennial generation, I think the millennial generation, by the way, will stay with your organization, but you got to give them a reason and you have to co-create a future with them. So I think about this idea of impact a lot, because it is unbelievable how much time you and I are going to spend at work in our careers. Yet to think that it's a pit in our stomach for many of us as we wake up, it's not joy to go to work. We don't feel like we could bring our values to work. That is an absolute mismatch of human potential that I think is devastating. And it's devastating because of the toll that it takes on the individual. There's real evidence to back up what I'm going to say. When people get to the latter parts of their life and you see people who live the long life, purpose, which I would have as a synonym in a sense, Avery, for impact. Purpose is what we long for. Friendship is what we long for. So I think the idea of impact as something that matters in our work is essential, whether you're running a library, you're running a 7-Eleven, or you're running Goldman Sachs. Meaning in our work is absolutely primal to who we are, and it helps you to live a longer life and a happier life. Beyond that, look, I'm an entrepreneur who's had the pleasure. I think the first time I've had a lot of tears running a company. If you run a small business, you're gonna have a fair amount of tears because you're gonna be humbled very, very quickly by the mistakes that you will make. But some of the tears that I've shed weren't for the dumb things that I've done. I'll tell you, when you offer someone the chance to work, when you ask someone to bring their labor, that is a precious conversation, Avery. It's an amazing thing to have someone say, I will give you my labor and my human potential and my capacity. I think it's a gift. I think that I have felt more impact in my life by offering people a job. I'm a job creator now. And I think that's what the joy is of being a small business owner. So, and the impact that you have on their lives from the work that you get to do. I'm now watching as my company grows and people do move on from your company. It's amazing to see the impact that's now paying forward in their lives. So I'm getting a little bit older here as I say this. I just turned 50 a week or so ago, but I'm watching now that the impact of what I might have had or the opportunities that happened in one of the small moments with one of my employees, these people are rising and growing and leaning into the next phases of their career. And there's a ripple effect of impact that happens, perhaps because of some of the things I might have done right to or done right by them. So I think impact matters, but I also will put a caution. I'll throw a flag in the field here. I think you got to be very careful of chasing impact that's purely financial. And I think we've got to be very careful about the impact that many people seem to crave through the social media and the social channels that feed us. Impact can also have a false god of validation that can be a shadow side of impact. And I think leaders have to be careful about it. So I'll close with a little bit of a warning. But yes, my friend, impact matters. It matters deeply to every one of us that toils, that goes to the office, that craves purpose, because it turns out we live longer, happier lives when we feel like we've made an impact.
So with the last question, then I want to expand off of that idea that you know, warning that there can be a double-edged sword to impact. For people listening today, and a lot of people that listen, you know, are working themselves, right? They might be in a job that they don't like, they might be in a job that they do like, but what is your advice for them to begin building their own impact in their communities?
Well, it's a wonderful question. And my simple answer will be insufficient to capture something as profound as that question, Avery. But one of the things I've been leaning into a lot lately, and I'm working on as a new venture, is this idea of people. I've noticed across the years that people crave vision. They crave, we're all visionaries. We dream about Christmas. We dream about holidays. We dream about vacations. We dream about a day off. We dream about waking up tomorrow morning. So humans, by definition, we have vision built into us. It's the thing that makes us the most unique on this planet, is imagination and vision. And what I would offer to those who are listening in who could take a nugget from this would be to imagine and think through 5 years out, 10 years out, what is the potential of social impact that they could have on their community, on their family, in the units in which they have some degrees, and how can they bring people along for what's called a shared vision? A shared vision is this idea that, you know, you don't just go up on the hill and put your hand on your chin like the thinker did and come back with something on high. We love collaboration, we crave collaboration. So bringing people along to imagine a shared vision of the future, I don't think there's anything more noble that a leader can do. And I think leaders struggle with it. But if you have the patience, you have the energy, and if you lean into some of the skills, and I'm shortly gonna be bringing forth some content to teach the world that there's a process and a skill base to achieve there. I think leading and facilitating and humbling people in a community around a shared vision is one of the most noble things that we can do. And it will feed your soul.
Yeah, that's a great piece of advice. It's never, you know, a single person's journey. It always requires multiple people to help out.
There's nothing that's happened. There's no chance I'm on this call with you right now, this this interview, this podcast. I am a very fortunate man who's had the gift of unbelievable people giving me their sustained attention, their love, their time, their attention. And, you know, part of the journey here now, Avery, is to pay this sort of forward. But there's nobody, none of us, no human being achieves anything singularly. We are lucky to have the ability to collaborate, and we're better off. The economy, the micro economist in me, I say that with a tongue in cheek. I'm an MBA. I'm not a doctorate. But the idea that there's a marketplace for unleashing us, and the marketplace involves market participants. It's a contact sport. We are humans that are built for social. We're built for connection, and that's the only way that we've ever achieved anything in humanity. So impact at a singular level, I think, is ego and it's dangerous. Impact in a shared, accountable way that brings people along, you might just change the world.
So Daniel, I just want to finish this podcast today by saying a big thank you for being with me here today. It's incredible what you're doing. I love that your firm, Through Inc., is building this relationship and building and assisting leaders on developing a culture of impact. So I just want to wish you the best. I want to wish your company the best as well. And thank you again for being with me here today.
Cheers. Thanks for having me.